Poetry on the Radio, poetry in and around the ACT. Today we ask Shane Strange about the extraordinary accomplishments of Canberra-based Recent Work Press, where he is publisher. Plus, The Rhyming Bugle, poetry news from around the region. For Art Sound Community Radio, I'm Kimberly K. Williams. Shane Strange is a highly regarded editor and booster of poetry in and around the ACT and far beyond. As publisher of Recent Work Press, he has built the press's astonishing record of poetry publishing over the last 10 years, mostly of Canberra region writers, but of others around Australia and even the world, too. His own writing has appeared in various print and online journals in Australia and internationally. He is the author of two chapbooks, Notes to the Reader and Dark Corner. His first collection of poetry, All Suspicions Have Been Confirmed, appeared in 2020. He was director of the Poetry on the Move Poetry Festival from 2018 to 2020 and was also artistic director of Queensland Poetry until it closed down in 2024. He came to the Artsound Studios to speak with me, my co-host, Peter Searles, and Poetry on the Radio producer, Peter Monahan. I looked to see when did the first Recent Work Press book come out.
Yeah.
And I realized it came out in 2015.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it's been almost 10 years. This is officially our 10th year, yeah.
And I just thought it would be really fun to have a conversation about the decade of poetry.
Yeah, it's been a pretty interesting decade, I think, as far as Australian poetry is concerned, so yeah.
How would you characterize the last decade of Australian poetry?
You know, I remember when I started, there were a few major poetry publishers, mostly located in Sydney and Melbourne. You know, there was a smattering of smaller ones. It seemed to be less vibrant, a culture, and there appeared to be a lot of people who were still engaging with poetry, and I think particularly or leading up to that period and certainly in the period since, there's been a lot more publishers have opened, which is great, and a lot of really interesting small publishers. But there's been a real boom, I suppose, in poetry. You know, the last 10 years have been really vibrant and exciting, a lot of new voices, a lot of new marginal voices, which is excellent. Organisations like Australian Poetry and Red Room are really providing a spine, I suppose, to Australian poetry. But it's been a place where some of the sort of old guard or poets who'd been around for a long time were mixing it up with a lot of new and really interesting voices. I'd probably characterise the last 10 years as being a bit of a really good time for Australian poetry, yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was exciting, yeah.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but who would be some of the newer voices that are exciting to you?
Not speaking of Recent Work Press, but, you know, you've got people like Omar Saker, Ray White from Queensland. There's a wonderful young poet called Alex Crease who's just brought a book out with Cordite. You know, and then you have a lot of older voices like Paul Hetherington and it's people in their sort of mid-career like Felicity Plunkett, for example. Sarah Holland Batt, you know, there's been people who've sort of continued on through that period. But it's been really interesting to hear, I think, those kind of voices that may have been marginalised in the past, and they've taken a kind of real centre stage, I suppose, in this period. So, yeah.
So you feel like there's been a real opening?
I feel that. And, you know, it may just be an effect of publishing and, you know, being more open to the world of Australian poetry. But I feel that there's a few more places where you can get published, and certainly a lot of journals and online stuff and prizes and that sort of thing, which is, you know, it's been great. It wasn't exactly a closed shop, I suppose, but, you know, I think things have opened up and the opportunities are much better.
Mm.
I would think, yeah.
I'm curious, do the publishers, do you have much contact with each other?
Publishers? Oh, we do. We think there's a little room where we meet get plot the future of Australian poetry. I know a few of them, like, you know, I know Kent McCarter from Cordite and David Musgrave from Punch and Motman and Rose Lucas from Liquid Amber. Yeah. So I know them as people and as poets. But no, there's no, you know, I'm not in touch with them all the time. You know,
yeah.
I've occasionally asked for help and they've occasionally asked for help. And it's not competitive. I mean, I think there's a great thing that Kent McCarter said, which was in somewhere like Canada, a poet starting out has somewhere like 20 or 30 publishing options. And in Australia, there's maybe 6 or 7. And a lot of them, and, you know, they're not always taking things. There certainly have been some more. So it's kind of opening in the last 10 years. But, you know, if you're a poet starting out in Australia, the chances are less. You know, the options are less than in somewhere like Canada, for example,
yeah.
with a similar population. So I think that, you know, insights like that from Kent and from David and from a whole pile of other people are really interesting, yeah. So, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
With those limited options for publishing that poets have, did that mean that when you started Recent Work Press that it was very easy to find content and writers to publish yeah. their work, or did you have to put some work into it?
No, I didn't have to put any work into it. It wasn't, when I started, it wasn't meant to be anything particular. I worked in the book industry for a while and I had enough of an understanding of that side of the industry, and I found a way of making poetry, which has always been a non-financial kind of enterprise, I found a way of making it pay for itself in a sense, you know. But when I started, I was really just interested in publishing or giving, you know, making into books poets in Canberra that I knew because I was working at the University of Canberra, and I knew a lot of, they were very interested in poetry at the time, and I knew a lot of poets through that. And it seemed kind of a shame that a lot of them, you would have to go, you know, cap in hand to Sydney or to Melbourne to, and hope that, you know, someone would pick up their book. So, but I found that once I started publishing in a very small way, that I got inundated by, you know, because of that, like I said, that desire, there's a lot of poets out there who want to be published. So in a sense, it without planning, I sort of hadn't planned anything, but it kind of steamrolled, and pretty soon we were publishing poets from all around Australia and sometimes internationally as well. So yeah, that's been, as an example, we have we've done some open submission periods, and we routinely get about 120 manuscripts from people over the Australia, and it's sort of, I would say that there's that many, you know, some of those poets have gone on to publish with others, and some we've published, but I think that there's, you know, still quite a demand for it, yeah.
And of the 120 submissions you receive, how many books might Recent Work Press publish in a year?
Well, I'm trying to reduce the amount of books that I publish, and I haven't had an open submission period for a couple of years, but the last time we did quite a few, you know, we might take 10 or 12 out of those, you know, and the amount of books I publish is has gone, I think one year I did like 28 or something, which was crazy, and last year I did maybe 12 or 13, and this year I'd like to keep it around the 10 mark. I did aim for 6, but that's not been possible. So people keep giving me stuff. So even without a submission period, you know, there are still people who are interested in, there's still enough to do to be going on with, yeah.
Do you know how many books in total the press has published now?
I'd say it'd be somewhere around 125 maybe. Maybe a few more actually, yeah. But certainly well over 100.
Today on Poetry on the Radio, we're speaking with Shane Strange, the highly regarded editor and booster of poetry in and around the ACT and far beyond, as publisher of Recent Work Press. There, he and his colleagues have built the press's extraordinary record of poetry publishing, mostly of Canberra region writers.
You mentioned earlier that part of the project has been to publish a greater diversity of voices.
Yeah.
Do you have the sense that there are writers, kinds of writers almost, I suppose, who weren't being published before, but who were writing?
Yeah.
Or has the opportunity to be published, I guess, encouraged people to become writers who didn't before?
Yeah, yeah. That's a good question. I mean, I think it's more that people are engaging with poetry, and getting published is a big step, you know. And like, I've had a number of first-time poets that I've publications from debut publications from new poets, and you know, they've often got the manuscript in the drawer, you know, and they've been trying for a really long time to get published somewhere. And so, you know, someone like K.A. Nelson, for example, she had won the Judith Wright Prize at Overland, I think it's the Judith Wright, but couldn't get a book published. So, but in publishing her first book, and I see this often, kind of drew a line in their careers, you know, where they could finally move on to the next book. So, so that's really pleasing, that aspect of it, yeah.
And that is one of the beautiful things about Recent Work Press, is that you can be a first-time poet, or you can be somebody like Paul Hetherington, who's very well established. And that's something I think that distinguishes Recent Work Press from presses all around the world, actually, is that usually you're one or the other kind of a press.
Oh, I mean, I have a sort of editorial policy about that? Not really. I mean, I one of the things I haven't done in the last couple of years is maybe I had one or two new poets, and I kind of like doing first books of poetry. I think they're really interesting, and finding new voices. But the last couple of years has been a lot of people with their second or third books, you know. And I'm often it's the quality of the work rather than, you know, their establishment. You know, I've not published a lot of quite well-established poets. And I don't know, it sort of falls in the centre there. Yeah.
Not to put you on the spot, but in the last 10 years, looking back, what would be some of your favourite books that you've published?
That's a very, very, very fraught question. Well, look, I mean, a lot of the really good books have actually been anthologies. So probably one of the more successful or interesting books has been Poet to Poet, which was a collaboration between the Japanese women poets and translators, co-translators in Australia, poets who are co-translating in Australia. And that book has been really well received, you know, and was kind of important, I think, certainly overseas. And it introduced a lot of established Japanese women poets who were really quite good but underheard. And I think that sort of introduced those poets to you know, an English audience, which has been really good. I don't really want to be specific about particular poets, but
I'm so glad you brought up the anthologies.
Yeah,
because that is a definitely ground to cover. Some of the anthologies are sort of really unique and quirky. You had the one about there was the no news.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, that's such a niche kind of topic, and yet it's really a lovely collection.
It is, yeah. I mean, I really like, and I haven't done this for a few years now. Paul Munden, who is an English poet and who was a colleague out here in Canberra for a little while, he went through a period of just having these ideas, you know, and I really quite liked, and I think he did too, I quite like setting a challenge for poets to rise to. It's almost like an experiment, you know, and you say, this is what you got to write about, you know, and you get back this amazing sort of diversity of books. So, you know, we did one on the 50th anniversary of the moon landing in 2019, and then we did one on No News, which was a day in in the 20s where the BBC just said, look, there's nothing, there's no news, and began in the early days of radio. Yeah, we got nothing, and just sort of put on a bit of violin music or something, which was kind of cool. And then we did, the first one of that sort of strain was doing one on Ovid's Metamorphosis, and that was really interesting. And the interesting thing about those anthologies is, you know, yeah, we have an Australian contingent, but we also have a large English and American contingent, and Singapore, and so it was really, they're really international in their focus, yeah. But, yeah, we haven't done one for a few years now, so yeah.
And there's also the Not Very Quiet.
Not Very Quiet, that was really good because, you know, and again, you know, I was really grateful to be able to publish that, or for them to have the option of being published as a book, because, you know, that was an online and sort of live performance collection of women poets. And it was really, really nice to be able to put, you know, a kind of celebration of their 10 years of work into an anthology, and that was, yeah, that was really good. And, you know, if I didn't do it, who would do it? You
right,
know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah,
you know, and that's important to the organisers and to the poets involved as well. So, yeah.
In that anthology, I'm thinking too, not only is there some international diversity, but there's also a lot of diversity in the types of Australian women poets.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
And that's worth discovering.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, it's always nice to hear a collection of voices, I think, and anthologies do that quite well. They're very inclusive, or try to be very inclusive, yeah. Mm. So, yeah, that's great.
Mm.
You spoke a little bit about how you began the press, and I'm sure that then, as now, it's a brave undertaking. Financially, it's been noted that your books are all very well produced. They're nice to hold and read. They look good. Nice paper.
Yeah.
Thoughtful typography and so forth. I mean, they really, all those things matter quite a bit. But I guess everybody wonders how you do it. Is there more of a market than we realize for books, poetry books in a small market, or
well, I guess how do I do it? Well, I do a lot of the work myself, so a lot of the design work is done by me, with some exceptions, and a lot of the layout and stuff is done by me, as Kimberly would attest to. And if you've got those skills, which I did have, it's not as expensive, I suppose, as you would think. It's expensive in terms of time spent, and I'm very cognizant there are things that, you know, so-called proper publishers would offer that I don't, but I'm just not in a position to do that. But basically, it has, in terms of, you know, money, you could run it where it just sort of pays for itself, yeah, without sort of, it is possible to bring books out, and with this sort of print on demand technology, you don't have to make a huge investment in a particular print run or whatever. So yeah, it works for poetry. I think a lot of poetry publishers around Australia are starting to do that now. So yeah.
Can you just explain what you mean by your print on demand way of working and how it pays for itself?
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, there's a printing publishing company called Ingram's that are in the States and Australia and the UK and a few other places. And they just have a way of, you know, you can upload a book and you can print one copy, or if you print 10,000, it doesn't really matter. And so there's no real penalty for not publishing, for printing a lot of books. So from that perspective, it's fine. You know, we sell a lot of books through the website. We sell throughout my website. We sell stuff when we have some live poetry readings, which we do from time to time in Canberra. And it just sort of, you know, it covers itself really, by and large. It's only when I do extravagant things that it, you know, but otherwise it just sort of, it ticks along. So, yeah. Yeah, and which is, you know, part of the economics of poetry publishing. It makes more sense, you know, because poetry is never going to sell, or in some rare cases, thousands and thousands of copies. So it's okay for me to say, I'll publish this person that nobody's heard of, and I probably won't sell a lot of books, but it's fine. I'm able to do that, which is good, which is part of the plan, you know.
Well, used to be you'd run, a thousand, and then you'd sell 80, and then you'd have all these copies on remainder. And that's right. Where that comes from, right? The remainder table.
The remainder table, yeah. Yes. And but it also, from terms of production, you know, you are saying, I'm only going to publish poets that I can, say you've got to print a minimum of 300 copies. So you, as a publisher, you go, right, I've got to find someone who's going to sell 300 copies. And so the pool automatically becomes smaller, and you don't publish new poets or anything like that because you're hoping to sell that many. So if I publish a book and on average maybe 50 or 100 copies sell, that's okay. So, yeah, and that means that more poets get recognised, more poets have their own books, and that development, I think, is really important. Yeah.
Just looking ahead to 2025, you'll be publishing fewer books, but I wondered if you wanted to just do a little teaser for what's coming. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, what can we look forward to?
This year, we've got a lot of people who have published previously with Recent Work Press, and a lot of local people. So, for example, Jackie Malins has a really interesting book out where she's looking at the sort of family history of a family from Tasmania, which she's been doing art about as well. So she's doing a kind of visual poetic response to that. We have the amazing Paul Collis, who's bringing out his second book, Barkindji Man, from who lives in Canberra. And, you know, he's always a wild ride to to deal with, which I'm really looking forward to. And then Maggie Shapley, who's another local poet. She's publishing a kind of book whose conceit is about, you know, a reading group of poets working together. So I'm really looking forward to those local people. And then, you know, we have people like James Lucas, who's a really wonderful poet from Sydney, whose work I really like. And it was one of those, you know, I've had my manuscript for 10 years, can't get it published sort of people. So he did his first book, and of course that's allowed him to move on and do something else. And his second book is coming out later this year, and it's great. And also Ross Donlan from Victoria's got something. Supposed to be publishing David Musgrave has got a volume coming out. And Paul Munden, who I mentioned before, he's got a book coming out about the films of Sam Peckinpah, you know, poems about the films of Sam Peckinpah.
Oh, wow.
Here he has a strong, it's one of his sort of strong connections. So, yeah, a lot of people coming back for their second go, so to speak. Brendan Ryan is a writer from Victoria. He's been doing a new and selected poems for him, so that's really exciting. You know, he's a well-established poet. You know, he's brought about eight or nine collections, and, you know, it, just one of those things that the open submission period brought his last book, Feldspar, and, he wanted to work with us again, which is great. So, yeah, another busy year. So, yeah. Oh,
that's really exciting.
It is, yeah. Yeah, no, it's as usual, a good year.
When you say that you do a lot of work in the layout, what does that mean about how finished and refined and polished the manuscript you look for the manuscript to be when you receive it? Because is there an element of sort of finishing the work in choosing how it's laid out? And is that like another phase of editing?
Really. I mean, often the poets have there's a lot of work done in transferring the manuscript to being laid out. But it's not really very often a question, or rarely a question of changing the layout or changing, you know, the way the poem's structured, or, you know, what spaces or whatever they've got in there. Often it's just a way of trying to transpose what's been written on an A4 page into a much smaller size. So that's probably the only real sort of adjustments that are made. And it's rarely I'll look at a poem and say, oh, this should be, you know, X, Y, and Z. poets, by and large, I mean, one of the great things about working with a lot of poets is that they, their manuscripts have been, you know, well gone over. There's rarely just a rush job. They've really thought about it. They've often given it to five or six people to read and make comments on. So by the time you get it, it's, it varies, but quite often there's very little to do. So which is really good. Yeah.
And you use, I don't know if this is the right word, but you have like a small committee of editors, right?
Yeah,
really,
yeah.
Accomplished poets like Penelope Leyland, K.A. Nelson.
That's right. I'm very lucky to have, I established an editorial board, invited people onto an editorial board, really to help with the open submission period, because 120 manuscripts is difficult to read all by yourself. And it was really helpful for them to be involved in that decision-making process. And some of them, like you mentioned Penelope, who's worked with a lot of poets now, Kerry, who's working with, has started working with a few books lately, S. Fung, who's in Melbourne, she's been very helpful. Philip Hall has done some work. So there's a few of them. Martin Dolan has been sort of helpful. So there's a lot of those guys who are just doing this editing work voluntarily almost, and they, you know, they get a kick out of it, and I'm very grateful for the help. So, yeah.
Today on Poetry on the Radio, our guest has been Shane Strange, the highly regarded booster and editor of poetry in and around the ACT and far beyond, as publisher and founder of Recent Work Press. Next time on Poetry on the Radio, we begin a far-ranging, multi-episode conversation with the renowned, long Canberra-based writer of many genres, Subhash Jarath, just as he leaves Canberra to resettle in Sydney. For ArtSound FM Community Radio, I'm Kimberly K. Williams.
The Rhyming Bugle. Regular poetry readings at Smith's Alternative in Civic are returning after the holidays. On Monday, January 27 at 7 p.m, that poetry thing is a big open mic. Each participant has 3 minutes. Sign up on the night. On February 3, Jeff's Poetry at Smith's, the long-running first Monday monthly series in association with that poetry thing, presents Trish O'Hare from Castlemaine and Owen Bullock from Canberra. Trish O'Hare's poetry has appeared in a whole range of journals, newspapers and anthologies, and has won awards and been placed in international competitions. Her latest book is Like a Girl on a Page, 2024, Mark Time Books. Owen Bullock's latest poetry collection is Pancakes for Neptune, Recent Work Press, 2023. Following 3 previous poetry titles, 5 books of haiku, a bilingual edition of Tanka, and a novella, he teaches creative writing at the University of Canberra. On February 10, That Poetry Thing launches Alex Eagleton's latest collection, Taro. The Manning Clark poetry series takes place on the fourth Thursday of each month, and the Centre, which is in Forest, has announced some of its readings for 2025. On March 27, Hazel Hall and Deborah Dawkins, and on April 24, Christopher Kellen. Often poets mentioned in the Rhyming Bugle have been featured on past episodes of Poetry on the Radio. Listen back at artsound.fm. Pull down under the Programs tab for Poetry on the Radio. Poetry on the Radio is produced weekly on unceded traditional land in the studios of ArtSound FM and airs Sundays at 4:30 p.m. and again at 10:30 p.m. on Mondays and online at artsound.fm. Series hosts are Kimberly K. Williams and Peter Searles, who produced the program with me, Peter Monahan. Find out more on the Poetry on the Radio page under the Programs tab at artsound.fm. Our theme is an imagining of an ancient Greek hymn to the muse Calliope by Gregoria Paniagua and the Atrium Musica de Madrid. ArtSound FM is a listener-supported community radio station. You can support the station's many arts-related broadcasts by donating or becoming a member through our website, artsound.fm.